It's time for Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley is back. We've got lots to talk about. Prospective CEO candidates at Microsoft, a complete change in the way they hire and fire, and a look at the Xbox One over Mary Jo's dead body. It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 337, recorded November 14th, 2013, Unstacked. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show that covers your Microsoft Jones every week. And Mary Jo Foley is back from allaboutmicrosoft.com. Welcome home.
Thank you.
Did you leave home?
Yeah, I just was away for a couple days, taking a couple days off.
Good. Good.
I think the week that a new iPhone, a new Call of Duty game comes out is a tough time for Mary Jo.
It is. It's a good time to leave.
Well, it was very quiet in Manhattan while you were gone. Everybody was inside playing games. No, we welcome you back. We missed you. Paul and I did manage to talk a little bit about Call of Duty last week. Just a little, tiny bit.
I heard you talked mostly about Hadoop, but a little Call of Duty.
Well, I think Hadoop did not get mentioned.
Actually, it's funny you mention this, because when I first started working on the show notes last week, I thought I should do an enterprise pick of the week and a code name pick of the week, kind of in honor of Mary Jo.
Yeah, you know? and then I thought, beer of the week.
I started writing that stuff up. I had it there, and then I thought, oh man, I got to do a Hadoop thing, you know. And I started looking up Hadoop, and I was thinking, like, what can I write about Hadoop? And after a while, I was like, I can't do this. I just can't.
There can be but one.
I actually wrote a bunch of stuff up, and I was like, oh, I can't.
Yeah. So I was showing you guys before the show. I was showing you my new. There's a guy. Who does an ARM blog, armdevices.net, named Charbax, Nicholas Charbonnier, who goes to China. He goes to Shenzhen, China, every month, and he gets the latest devices. He brought back, and I bought them from him because they were cheap. A fake iPhone, a fake Galaxy Note 3.
Is the
Note
fake
3.
iPhone made out of wood?
No. But it's a gold.
That's crazy. And what runs on this thing?
These are all Android, but look at this. This is the fake Nokia 1020. It's even got the bump. It even says 41 megapixels, pure view.
I bet it's not a 41.
You it's not. In fact, the funny thing is, even though it says 41 megapixels and pure view, it also says Android on it. But look, they even went to the effort of duplicating the Windows Phone UI. This is all Android.
How would anyone want something like this?
Well, I figured it out, because they don't really hide the fact that it's an Android device. They put the words Android on it and so forth. It's not for the buyer. He knows. He only paid $43 for it. It's for your friends, to impress your friends.
So you can be out in public and people.
You're in public and they think, oh, wow, this guy's got to be pretty hip, pretty with it. It does have a camera. Maybe not. It seems kind of blurry. but it even has the Windows button here, which brings us back to the home key. It's got these tiles. They're live tiles. See, there's the photo tile moving. It's even got the Microsoft, stock photos.
No, it's very similar.
Isn't that wild? And that's Android under the hood.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That makes me a little weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird. So, but I just thought I'd show you that. And it was cheap, which I like. But there is stuff to talk about. In fact, big stuff. The stack ranking that Microsoft was famous for, created by Jack Welch at General Electric, dropped almost immediately at General Electric and still at Yahoo and Microsoft, pursued for many years. Some say it's what was wrong with Microsoft, has finally bit the dust.
It's a symptom, not the... the
maybe,
actual issue.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the story?
Yeah.
Is this your scoop, Mary Jo?
Well, yes, here's the kind of funny insider baseball part of this. I didn't know this was about to happen, and somebody tweeted me and said, hey, did you hear it? We just got rid of stack ranking. And so I called Microsoft right away and I said, is it true? Did you guys just get rid of stack ranking? And they say, could you hold on to this for like a few more minutes?
Minutes?
And not post yet?
Not
and
hours?
I said, what? So I think they were loading a couple of pubs for Bear on this story. And so I just rushed it out, of course, when I was like, yeah, they're doing it. Okay. And then we get a hold of the memo, which is Lisa Brummel's memo to everybody at Microsoft, which went out, I think, right before all the stories started hitting. And it basically said, yes, we're doing away with stack ranking, or ranking on the curve, as they call it. And they said the reason they're doing this is because under the new One Microsoft that they're doing, where people are supposed to be more cooperative and divisions are supposed to work together, that this way of rating people didn't make sense anymore. I'd argue it didn't make sense before that, that you didn't need to have the reorg to make this not make sense. It's funny. There are people who work at Microsoft who actually like stack ranking. It's not something everybody hates. So if you're, in the top percent, you actually think this is a good way to rate people. The problem is every year they had to get rid of the bottom X percent, I think 10%. So if you are somebody who, for whatever reason, your boss didn't like you, or people in your division kind of collaborated together to say, let's vote so-and-so off the island, you could end up fired even if you were doing a great job.
That's the problem. It's like Survivor, right? And you end up doing alliances.
Yeah. There are some weirder problems, too. Like, I was thinking about this, imagine if you were a really smart engineer type, and you were in some project, a product group doing whatever. And, a smart company would want smart guys to get together and do smart things, right? But a really smart guy at a company that has stack ranking would say,
right,
it's better for my career if I'm not on a team with really smart guys, because then I'll always be the highest rated.
Precisely.
And then I'll always get, right? And
then you start spending energy gaming the system instead of doing your best work.
Right, which is exactly what you want your best and brightest doing, gaming the system instead of helping.
There is another company up that way, well-known for gaming. I've talked to previous employees there who employ the same method, and that's exactly what they report. It incents you not to be go on the most best team, the most interesting team.
Yeah.
It incents you to, it's just horrible. And why anybody ever thought this was a good idea is beyond me.
It's nuts.
They still do it at Yahoo, I think, and this other unnamed
company.
Steve
Ballmer is kind of an acolyte of Jack Welch, isn't he? Like, doesn't he count him as a major influence on his business style and so forth?
And, we should point out, like you guys are mentioning, it's not just Microsoft who does this. Yahoo, obviously, it just was very famously talking about they're doing this. But Amazon and Google do this, too.
Oh, really?
A lot of companies do this. Oh. A lot.
Now, the question is how you deal with it. Because it's my understanding, Google, while they may do the stack ranking, they don't cut people. Yahoo, if you have two misses, if you have goals and you miss twice, then you're supposed to be fired. So how you respond to the stack ranking, of course, changes how it works.
It does. And, you need a way to get rid of the dead wood at a company. Every company needs
this
that, right?
This is the problem. Yeah,
right.
C players.
So,
yeah.
Right. The question is, when you're having a company like Microsoft that's doing this reorg where people are supposed to work cross-divisionally and the teams aren't as defined in silos as they've been in the past, how do you rate somebody then? Say they're spending 10% of their time working on Xbox One, doing something in Windows and something on Windows Phone. Like, who rates them and how do they get rated now? You can't just say Windows is going to grade you and you're going to be it's going to be decided you didn't do well or did, because you're reporting into a whole bunch of different teams now.
So after they called you and said, hold this for a few minutes, did they ever give you a green light or...
I just said, I'm not going to wait. And I've got enough to go with it. And I told them, people are tweeting about it. It's out there. And
it's too
I'm
late.
Writing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They wanted to kind of make sure everybody at the company knew at the same time and that some people didn't hear it through us. But, that's the way news works.
Yeah. So. So they did it. In fact, Paul, you wrote kind of about why they did it. It does solve a problem that all organizations have. And the bigger the organization, the more difficult it is to solve, which is to root out, to reward the best and to root out the worst.
By the way, how are they going to reward people going forward is a big question. Mary Jo just touched on this. You know, in the past, you might say, well, you work in the Windows division, and so the performance of Windows in some way impacts your compensation. Right. It makes a certain amount of sense. But when you have a huge organization with different groups all supposed to be working together and helping each other and doing the right thing for the entire company, you can't do that anymore because right. decisions that may benefit Windows might adversely impact some other product group, you know, and that's always what happened in the past. And so I'm really curious to see what they come up with to replace it in a way, because I think they've been kind of vague about that, and I don't really think they have any
it was pretty vague.
Publicly.
The memo is very vague. Right.
Yeah.
It says, you know, we're still going to have some kind of a rating system, mm-hmm. right? We're still going to have rewards for people who do well. And we're going to put more emphasis on teamwork and collaboration. But how do you do all this? And this is the part that's like, let's see. Cause they're having town meetings this week, talking to the managers and all the divisions about what this means and how it's going to look as they move forward. But, you know, to me, another question besides how do you do it correctly is why did they do it now? They did this after 10 years of having stack ranking and being criticized for it, employees leaving because of it. And why are they doing it right now, you know, when they're about to get a new CEO? It's kind of interesting timing, right? I've heard a couple different things.
That's a really good point, because they've changed so much right now, right before there is a new CEO. Yep. So that person's ability to impact the organization in many ways has been preemptively constrained, right? They completely reoriented the company around a new strategy. They got rid of stack ranking. You know, like, what does the guy do at this point? Or the woman, you know, not that we know of any.
Probably not.
Women candidates, probably not.
One theory I heard about why now is, you know, there's a ton of turmoil happening at Microsoft right now. Besides the CEO, there's a lot of things changing, new teams, new ways of working. And one way to make sure people don't leave is you make them happier about how they're being compensated, right? Instead of them saying, oh, I'm afraid what's about to happen with a new CEO. If you give them a compensation system that they're happier about, maybe they'll stick around. The other theory, which is really kind of odd, but possible too, is some people said now that Ballmer is a lame duck CEO, things that he was in favor of, like stack ranking, can be undone because he's about to leave.
Or what if they already know who the next CEO is?
Yeah. We should talk about
Ballmer
that.
Ballmer got stack ranked out of the company.
You off the island.
No, but what the system you put in place has worked.
What if the new CEO's already kind of working with them, and one of the things he said, look, this stack ranking, I don't want to do it. It doesn't fit our new reorg, but I don't want to be the guy who, I mean, maybe actually, wouldn't you want to be the guy who killed stack ranking?
Yeah. You would love to be that guy.
You want to be the hero. So maybe worse.
They've really taken the thunder away from whoever this guy is.
That's a good point.
A person. Imagine if you know, it doesn't matter who it is, but whoever comes in and says, we're going to be a devices and services company. I'm getting rid of stack ranking. You know, people would say, my God, thank you. We needed this for years and years.
That's why. Ballmer wants credit for it before he leaves. Yeah. That's what it is.
Maybe.
This is an underhanded.
I don't really think that helps his
reputation
too much. I mean,
it's an underhanded move from Ballmer.
You know, like when the president's going out and they give, what do they call it?
Pardons. Like, presidential immunity. Yeah, it's the last thing you do is you walk out the door of the Oval Office.
Yeah.
You go,
let this you know kid, that stuff we were doing the whole time I was here. Yeah,
let my people free. And I bet you that's what he's doing. I bet you Ballmer's saying, yeah, I want a little gold star before I head on out.
I don't know. I think you're right. I just think that's kind of
cynical.
Yeah. I know it is, but it's very unusual timing. Unless there's something going on that we don't know. As to exactly why. I mean, this time of year is also when you see a lot of people change jobs at the company, right? This is because it's a time when reviews have come through, and typically people move around this time of year. So, okay, maybe that's why too, but I don't know. Curious on the timing.
That is an interesting question. It's not for this show. It's for a business show, but what do you do instead? I mean, there must be ways. I think part of the problem with stack ranking is that you're asking employees to make decisions on their coworkers, or at least to have an impact on their coworkers, and that causes some real friction. But I mean, are managers the right people to say this guy's a good manager?
No good system for this. You ever work at a company that makes you rate yourself?
Yeah.
You know, like, I have. Mean, right? I mean, that's yeah. There's no yeah. system where people
well,
are going to be happy.
I think it's middle managers not wanting to do their job, which is to decide who stays and who goes. That's what isn't that what a manager is supposed to do?
It just seems like these groups should be able to petition for the best employees they can get and yeah. be able to get rid of the ones that really yeah. are underperforming, regardless of percentages and so forth. Microsoft has way too many employees. I mean,
well, and that's why it's hard. It becomes very difficult yeah. when you have a giant organization to yeah. do this.
Yeah. yeah.
We don't have any problem firing people here, I just say. You off with your head.
Right. The buy fiat approach works, I think, up to a certain size.
It's only when you can actually know the name of yeah. every employee was that is that.
Someday you're
gonna
walk in a room and say, "You're Who's fired," and they're gonna say, "Who are you?" And that's how you know that you have succeeded.
Time for you to go.
Well, and time to go.
Yeah.
It's the Pat Riley approach to management. When they stop listening, you have to leave.
Yeah. yeah. It seems as if this is I don't understand it. I'm not a business person. We got to get somebody with an MBA to talk about why stack ranking even happened. It seems like such obviously bad idea.
Well, no, people have come out and defended it this week, right? I mean, obviously a lot of ex-Microsoft guys and others have come out and said, oh, they should have done this a long time ago. This system stinks. It drove people out of the company. But there are people who feel that this kind of thing works. And that if you think about like a lean, kind of fast-moving Microsoft, a really aggressive company, the idea of culling the herd has some attraction to people right. like that too, right? I mean, there are people who think this system really works. So, I mean, people are going to be all over the map on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, the part I heard the most complaints about in the years that I've heard about stack ranking is the voting off the island thing. Right. Because it wastes so much energy. You have to take all this time politicking inside, right, to make sure you have allies on your team so that when review time comes, you're not going to get tossed. And it just wastes all this time when you could actually be developing products or testing products or thinking up marketing strategies. Instead, you're having to go around and like talk to all your buddies and say, hey, you're not going to vote me off, right?
That's why they need Skype integration so they can get that save the time of walking around the office and
they can just
virtually talk about exactly. other people.
Somebody
that's
should...
why they have Yammer.
Yeah, oh, that's exactly it. Yammer. Link. We need a link ranking.
Yeah, but there was a ton of rejoicing this week when that was announced,
oh,
I can tell you. Wow. People went crazy. Great.
But then, well, then time will tell. If you have all the people who went most crazy were the weakest employees.
I know. Right.
Thank God.
And also, if it's just, yeah. is it just, you know, new wine and old bottles, as they say, right? Like, is this new system just going to be stack ranking without really being called stack ranking?
They do need a way to ferret out the employees who aren't performing at a high level. I mean, this is a clear need. Yeah.
Nate Ski, who is in our chat room and presumably an org expert, says from an organizational comm management standpoint, stack ranking is a good idea as long as there's proper use of the information. You use it as a metric for organizational efficiency, not as a tool to fire the worst. So it's you know, it's useful information. They do it. You know, I was reading about Navy SEALs. They do it in SEAL training. And they really do it. You have a SEAL team of whatever, six people, and you name the best to the worst, and the worst is off the team, and everybody knows it. But that's a little different. These are people who actually carry weapons.
That is, yeah. I mean, you would want those guys.
That's who you want to do this. So yeah. But there's no, that shows you though. There's
We're dragging
some value.
This fat guy around on these missions.
I don't
want to
carry him
years.
Anymore.
You know, it's like, wait up, guys.
This was from
don't
the
take
book,
off in a helicopter
this
yet.
Was
I'll
from the book No
minute.
Easy Day, which is the story of one of the SEAL Team 6 members who took out Osama bin Laden. And he said it's one of the hardest things of his training was, and they didn't want to do it. And Rev says, we now have a new organization inside of Microsoft called the SQL Team 6. And they're going to carry guns, so. No, it makes sense if you're SEALs. I don't know if it makes sense if you're SEALs.
I think we could all agree stack wrecking A-OK.
A-OK.
In any military type.
It's working for them anyway. And there's also a kind of an infinite pool of people who want to come in and take your place, right? And good quality people, presumably.
Sure. Well, by the way, that might be true at Microsoft, too. So
yeah, maybe.
I saw people tweeting, now I would consider going back. Wow. So some of the people who they lost may come back.
I'd like to assemble a list of people I need back at Microsoft immediately.
And the ones who don't want to come back?
Yeah, right. Well, we can make that list too. But
who would we want back?
Oh, Leo. I don't
know. Where to begin on that list?
Jay.
A number of
Yeah, some
a number
people
of guys,
say Jay Allard. So
Jay Allard would be great to have back. Yeah.
Robbie Bach.
Some Robbie Bach would be great to have
about
back.
About him leaving.
Not Ray Ozzy. I don't think anybody misses
some
him.
Some people liked him too.
Well, actually, I don't know. I think Ray Ozzy has been redeemed.
Has he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ray Ozzy was, you know, he was the guy. He had written those memos telling Microsoft they need to get going on cloud computing.
Yeah.
And on non-Windows devices.
Yeah.
And nobody listened. And, you know, then he left. I guess, you know, tired of being ignored or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he left. And then Microsoft was like, oh, wait.
Oh,
actually,
hey, we do need cloud.
8 years later.
How about Steven Sinofsky? next time I'll time it when you're having a cup of coffee. A little sip. Yeah. That spit take going there.
You know, it's kind of ironic timing-wise. It was a year ago, November 12th. Not that I remember
any reason
or anything. That was when he left the company. It was November 12th in last year.
How do you know that date?
I don't know.
Almost your birthday.
You know, because Leo,
it was
it's
almost
the
best birthday present I ever got.
It's the holiday that falls between Veterans Day and Thanksgiving on Mary Jo's calendar.
The day after Veterans Day, I'll never forget it. It was a Tuesday.
Yeah. I'll never forget it either. I almost plastered into a telephone pole.
That's right. She told you, right? That was the one where she's on the phone going, you'll never guess.
Well, she didn't say it in words, which is why I almost crashed the car. But yes.
She texted you? Texted you and said?
She was screaming at me.
She screamed at you. Sinofsky's out! So there are other transitions going on at Big Green.
There are. So I actually want to kind of put this in context a little bit because it's getting confusing who's in and who's out right now and where they're all going.
It really is. We need like
somebody
a,
said to me,
Deadpool
could you make an org chart? So I need to make a giant org chart, the new Microsoft 3.0 or whatever. So, you know, okay, in July, Microsoft announced that they were going to reorg the company and there were going to be four key teams, right? There was going to be the Unified Operating System team under Terry Myerson. There was going to be the Applications and Services under Chi Lu. There's going to be Enterprise and Cloud, Satya Nadella, and Devices and Services, Julie Larson Green. So this week we found out that Dean Hakamovich, who runs the IE team and has run it for a long time, I think 9 years or so, is leaving that post and he's going to a new team. He has not yet disclosed what it is, but I'll tell you what I've heard it is. I hear inside Microsoft they're building this data sciences team where they're going to do a lot of analysis of their telemetry data across products, and he's going to head that up. His job now, the IE job, is being kind of dispersed. So the core IE stuff, like the rendering engine and the Chakra JavaScript engine, is going to stay in Windows. But the UX part, the user experience UI stuff, is moving over under Joe Belfiore, who right now does Windows Phone. So I think Belfiore is going to still keep doing the Windows Phone parts of his job that he does now and add the UX part that was under Dean. So that's kind of part of the whole move that we've been seeing of the old Windows guard. All the people who came into Windows who were affiliated with Steven Sinofsky are being kind of pushed out one by one. So Dean is one of those. John Devon, who has been in the core Windows team for a really long time and worked with Sinofsky in Office and Windows. He right now, I think, doesn't have a job at Microsoft. He's in the midst of either looking for a job or may move to another job. Do you know more on that, Paul?
No, I don't. But I was thinking of
Antoine LeBlanc, too.
Who was another guy from that same group that's suddenly not in Windows.
Right. He's not in Windows. Also, no job for him has been announced yet. So there's a lot of churn happening in Terry Myerson's group. And he's bringing in, as you would think, his own guys, right? He's bringing in all the former Windows Phone guys who he worked with as the new lieutenants. So that's one thing that's happening.
Inmates are running the asylum.
Yeah. Windows Phone is like getting a getting a way higher profile inside this
new. Seriously, can you imagine like even a year ago saying, guess who's going to be running Microsoft soon? the overall strategy for the OSs and everything. It's crazy. Like it's insane.
It is pretty insane. Yep.
Yeah.
The new kind of inner circle in Windows now is David Treadwell, who's been at Microsoft for a really long time. He's heading up program management, and he's been working on Xbox most recently. A guy named Mike Fortin, who is a longtime Windows guy, and he's sticking around, and he's going to work with Terry Myerson in his new inner circle. And Henry Sanders, who came from Windows Phone Engineering, is the third guy. So you know how they do things in the triumvirate style. They're kind of sticking with that. And the trio that's closest to Terry Myerson are those three guys now. So that's interesting. You know, you're seeing kind of the old guard moving out, new guys coming in. The new power guys are mostly Windows Phone guys.
A lot of people are starting to show up on Xbox as well that are from other parts of the company. Like Lisa Gurry, did you have a deal with her? I think she was in Office. Mm-hmm. Jeff Henshaw, server guy.
On Xbox now?
Maybe I got the wrong Jeff.
But
the guy who did the dashboard demo video. And I'm thinking to myself, I used to talk to this guy about server. This is so strange.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, watching people displaced a bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm
sure. Going into new roles. Yep.
Yeah.
So the other interesting move this week that we should talk about is Eric Rutter. So Eric Rutter is another really longtime Microsoft guy. He used to run server and tools back around 2006. Then he kind of disappeared for a number of years. He stayed at Microsoft. He's at one point was actually thought to be Bill Gates' heir apparent. He was his TA back in the day. And everybody said he might actually be the next CEO. Then he disappeared from like 2006 till just a couple of years ago. He was working on a lot of kind of secret projects, supposedly, like the Midori operating system, if you've ever heard of that, which was this new operating system that Microsoft Research and a few key guys were building privately at Microsoft, and that still has never been revealed. Then last year he came back and he was appointed the head of Microsoft Research and Policy. So it was a very high profile job for him. Now, just this week, we found out he's going to be doing this new job, head of advanced strategy. And Microsoft's not really saying what that means. They're saying he's going to be doing some cross-divisional projects that they cannot disclose. And the person who's going to take his job is Harry Shum. Harry Shum has been running Bing Engineering, and now he's going to become the head of Microsoft Research and Policy. So a very interesting kind of revolving door going on there.
Can you read something into the tea leaves here?
I'll give you two theories on the tea leaves on this too. One person I talked to said he thought maybe Eric Rutter's kind of like old school Microsoft. He's real bull in the china shop kind of guy. And in the job where you're heading up Microsoft Research and Policy, you have to be very much a diplomat. Mm. So maybe he was a little too forthright for that job. The other theory is that Harry Shum moving somebody from Bing Engineering into a very high profile job could be a way, again, of probably the current management trying to shore up Bing as being an integrated part of Microsoft and making sure that they don't sell it by putting this guy who's been the lead on engineering of Bing into a very high profile role. I don't know. A curious one there.
Now Paul's silent.
He's thinking. He's playing Call of Duty Ghost.
No. He was chewing his lip. He was really cogitating.
It's like, should I use the honey badger?
There's a honey badger and a dog? Wow. Now I really have to get it. You're not going to be running out at midnight tonight and getting a PlayStation 4, are you, Paul?
No, I've got one coming to my house.
Oh, you do? But you are getting one.
Yeah.
Wow. And in 1 week, Paul and I will be up late.
Next week's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to go Midnight Madness on the Xbox, Leah?
I don't know. So
mine's
Boston
coming.
Is not one of the tier one cities, you know, for the launch events. But obviously, you know, the Microsoft store in Boston will be open. There's some other Microsoft stores in the area that will be open. And so I might just do it to be goofy. Kind of my version of Black Friday, I guess.
It's fun.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just check it out.
I'm getting mine in the mail. And I presume that because I got a day one edition, it will arrive on day one.
Would be the plan.
Yeah. It'd be nice. a week from tomorrow. Right? 22nd.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I won't be around for a few weeks after that.
This doesn't happen once every year. You know, this
is a decade-long wait.
It doesn't happen that often.
It's like the 100-year plant. When it blooms, you got to be there.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk last week about the CEO rumors. It's funny because it was many of the candidates that we had talked about. Stephen Elop, obviously. Alan Mulally, I was surprised to see, was on that short list. Kevin, what's his name? Turner.
That's an inside guy, yeah? Yeah, he's the COO at Microsoft.
Okay.
But he wasn't on that short list, was he? The one that Berger published?
I didn't think he was. He's in a new rumor circulating today that I give very, very low credibility to.
Do you give any credibility to the...
came up with this?
Yeah.
Today's rumor is WP Dang, a Chinese site that has kind of a 50-50 record on rumors, but mostly they're good on rumors about Windows Phone. So,
okay.
Yeah. So they said their rumor is really crazy. They say Kevin Turner becomes CEO for a period of a few years, and then Stephen Elop takes over from him.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Why even do
it's
that?
It's like becoming mayor, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone gets a shot.
Yeah, of crack.
Yeah, depending on the city. Yes.
So,
and also, we should say, Kevin Turner, you know, the COO role at any company is pretty thankless. You're the bean counter, right? And he's very disliked by many people at Microsoft.
He certainly rises to the role. You know,
if he became CEO, I think a lot of people would flee immediately.
Yeah. Well, right. If you thought Steve Ballmer was a businessman, right? I mean, at least Ballmer could speak fairly eloquently, actually, about the various technologies that Microsoft has and so forth. I mean, this guy is a real businessman.
He's very good. He's the guy they trot out. Kevin Turner is the guy they bring every partner conference, and he gives this rabble-rousing kind of talk where he like really lambasts Google and Oracle, and all the partners love it. But I don't know, him talking to Wall Street and him talking to the press, I don't know how that would go. And you have to do that when you're CEO. You have to be good with all these different constituencies, right? You have to be really good at talking to the press and Wall Street and customers, partners, your colleagues inside.
That's why you guys should run Microsoft.
I don't want to run
the ground, baby.
I know.
What about the rumors that if Elop... we didn't talk about this last week. I guess
it kind of... How did we miss this?
I don't know. I think it came after the show. Elop would sell off Bing and would sell off Xbox. First of all, any credibility... I know. Any credibility to the shortlist, A. And B, does that... Is that credible that he would sell those two off? Where did this stuff come from? Or did somebody just make it up?
This was a Bloomberg thing, right? I think Dina was involved in the story.
Yeah.
And that's why I give it
some credence. They're known for their reportage.
Right. And Dina Bass, who's their Microsoft reporter, is great. She's great. The problem is, I think this story may have conflated two things that didn't really belong together. Rick Sherland, who works for Nomura Research, is out there putting out reports almost weekly right now saying Microsoft should sell Bing and Xbox. And a lot of press people use him as an insider because he's covered Microsoft for a long time. He actually was one of the people who brought Microsoft public when they became a public company. He really wants them to sell Bing and Xbox because he thinks it'll really goose the share price. I don't think they can sell either of those things. I just think their strategy now is so wrapped up in keeping these as part of the family, especially Bing, I would say. Bing is being integrated into everything, every product at Microsoft, even things that haven't been announced like Cortana, you know, the Siri-like thing that Microsoft's building. That has Bing all in it. And I just don't see them being able to sell off Bing. People who say they should sell Bing are treating Bing as a web search engine and nothing else. That's how they understand Bing, and that's how Rick Sherlin's treating it. I just think these two things got pulled together into one story, and I don't know if ELOP has that as something he would propose. I don't know why ELOP would tell anybody if that was something he had to propose. It would be like sabotage, right?
It's like saying Internet Explorer is just a browser.
Well, I think the one thing that Bing and Xbox have in common, of course, is that they've lost several or more billions of dollars over the past decade, right?
Yeah.
And Microsoft has deeply integrated both those products into other stuff that they do, you know, Bing more than Xbox. But Xbox is all over the consumer stuff, obviously. It's in Windows, it's in Windows Phone, and so forth. You know, the games, the media, music and TV show and movie stuff. So they're really, you know, Microsoft loves that brand. I mean, that's the one thing with Xbox. I mean, I just think they're in love with the brand, and they love that they have this one product that has this kind of Apple style of adoration from its fans. It's so unusual for Microsoft. So it'd be kind of a tough sell.
It would. And you know, okay, think about this. If you're a CEO candidate for Microsoft, right? Why would you tell anybody, anybody at all, about what your agenda would be once you were CEO? That's like totally sabotaging you.
Well, plus that kind of thing, too. It's like running for president and saying, by the way, the first thing I'm going to do, raise taxes across the board. You know, it's just, it's not the way you go into the discussion.
I agree. I just think that story just, it felt like there were too many things that may have been kind of thrown together that didn't belong. And, you know, the other part of the story said ELOP also would be very keen on making sure that Office is ported to all platforms. Well, it's already being ported to all platforms. It's already on Windows Phone, Android, on iOS. It's coming to the iPad. They've been pretty open about that, actually, without actually giving you a date. So I felt like the story was somehow off. And the only way I could see that story having gotten out there was if somebody was trying to sabotage ELOP as a candidate. To me, that's how it felt to me. I'm like, wow, who doesn't want ELOP to be the CEO?
Well, for the pro-Microsoft crowd, everything that you just mentioned is not what anyone wants to hear. You know, right? Push Office
but
on iPad.
But that's what they're doing, though, right?
Well, yeah, they are, well, I mean, but get rid of Bing, get rid of Xbox. I mean, I think to the Microsoft core group, that's all.
No,
of that
it turns
stuff
Microsoft into IBM. Fierce. It's saying we give up. Yeah. We're not a consumer facing company so much anymore, mm-hmm. right? But I mean, I think some people might say that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
Maybe not sell. Yeah. Maybe spin right. off. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
With you guys talk about that all the time.
Yeah. That's how I would have handled the Xbox thing personally. But yeah.
And then you could do a if you spin off Bing into a separate company, you do a multi-year relationship where you save, you share technology, et cetera, and you don't lose.
We talked. It's like when car companies get sold, right? I mean,
yeah,
and you gain
Mazda
huge value.
Just
by
came
the
out
way.
With their first Mazda wasn't part of Ford, but they just came out. They had a big agreement with Ford, and they just came out with some new version of a vehicle that for the past 12 years has used Ford components. And now that their agreement with Ford has ended, they have to come out with the version that doesn't have their stuff. Yeah. You know, or Saab or Volvo gets sold to a Chinese company, and they still use parts of a part of whatever platform that whoever they were owned by before GM. Or
the other thing about this kind of spinoff into three companies is it that others have pointed out many times. Dvorak is always talking about it. Is it adds huge value? It's a response to the flat stock price, because you get three. You know, as a shareholder, you get now three companies, each with their own. One hopes value.
The other thing is some fairly minor CEO rumors triggered a little stock resurgence at Microsoft last week. And you can see the kind of stock price excitement that can occur when there's news. You know,
they're just waiting.
Microsoft doing something as decisive and huge as spinning off the Xbox would be, I think, would be kind of crazy one way or the other. You know, I think it would impact the stock somehow, you know. In a pretty dramatic way. And I think sometimes that's what you're looking for, especially with a stock like Microsoft that's been sitting still for the past decade or whatever.
Right. Like a lot of these things that people are suggesting they do, like sell off Xbox and Bing, I mean, they are totally about the stock price. They're totally about raising the stock price. And, you know, that's not a bad goal. If you're an investor, if you're an employee who has a lot of stock, you want to see that happen, right? But you have to look at what's good for the company beyond the short term. And it may boost the stock price in the short term, but is it going to help Microsoft's longer term strategy to get rid of Bing or Xbox? I don't know you can make that case.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, a lot
there
of
are
rumors.
No easy answers. I think that's fair to say.
Yep.
And we, okay, I won't include you. I, as a person who covers technology stories, of course, I lust for the juicy story, not necessarily the best business story.
Yeah. Right.
It's only human to want that. I mean, it's.
Give us something to write about for the next 3 years.
5% last week is not a very exciting story.
No. Microsoft spins it off into three divisions, hires Stephen Elop, restructures the company.
Yep, you know. Put the soup on, honey. It's going to be a late night. You know,
We love this. So I confess to a bias. People often accuse me of bias. They don't understand what the bias is. The bias is not towards any individual company or even any individual product. The bias is towards good stories.
Yeah, sure. Fun stuff.
It makes my life and art. Well, I'm not including you intentionally, guys, because you may not share this. You probably have higher standards and all of that.
We have higher standards. But yes, of course. I mean, we both, Mary Jo and I both publish for the web. I mean, you want people to read what you're writing and so forth. I mean,
I want an action movie, somebody says in the chat room. Exactly. Sure. Let's blow up some cars. What do you say? Yeah. But it might not be the right strategy for Microsoft. It may be slow and steady, boring, gray. You know, is the
best. It's been working out great for the past decade. Why not? You know, being boring and it's been really good.
Yeah, really fascinating stuff.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Love covering this Microsoft stuff. I'll tell you, it's always a fun. Oh, never a dull moment.
We've had our moments.
Yeah, we've had definitely. This has been the best year ever. Are you kidding?
Now. That's for sure. It's been crazy.
Really interesting.
Well, I have to say though, it depends on how you look at this stuff. But as Microsoft was barreling down the road to antitrust trial and then actual trial, and oh my God, they're going to be broken up. I mean, that was insane. For different reasons and a different kind of
that
thing.
That was 1998 when Tech TV launched, and we loved it.
It was insane.
Yeah,
you know,
it was really. I was in court for a part of that.
Wow, and,
that's great.
To go to court.
That stuff was huge, and it's funny in retrospect, because you look at what's happening now with the world with Google and Apple and all that kind of stuff, and you think about Microsoft's potential impact on the world. At the time, they really did seem like that company from antitrust, the movie. Like,
yeah.
You know, they could have been offing people in the dark and stealing source code from the open source community. And
I think they should hire Michael Douglas as their CEO.
Yeah.
Let's go for
the
Wall
Gordon
Street.
Gecko.
Gordon Gecko.
Kind of,
yeah.
Yeah. So, in retrospect, it's amazing what happened to Microsoft and the situation they got themselves into. And, of course, their reaction to it wasn't necessarily
the best. As I said, this year's been interesting. And Windows Phone, they've shown a very, I think, aggressive strategy. Seems to be starting to pay off, which is interesting. There's some growth. We're no longer the 3.8%.
Excellent.
Right. Aren't we four?
Oh, let's round up. No, I think that, and
if we do, we have to round up Android to 100.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, Android's been on a tear. But, what's hard about all of this is it's international numbers. And, Android does well internationally in poorer nations, but Windows Phone's been doing great in nations where the iPhone is not taking off.
And they're not all poor,
Russia, Europe's part.
Much of Europe. I mean, much of Europe, double-digit market share.
Yeah, India.
And Western Europe, rich countries. So that's good.
So it's.
But it is so crazy. You're so right, Leo. I was thinking about this yesterday. Think about a year ago, right, when Microsoft had just launched Windows 8. And I was like, they're going to have a faster rollout pace now. But we didn't know all of the other stuff that was going to happen, like Steve Ballmer retiring and
Surface,
the reorg.
Devices and services. I mean, this has been a roller coaster year. And the most interesting, you guys cover it for a living, so I'm not going to speak for you, but it seems like the most interesting year for Microsoft.
Please.
Xbox One.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really been a very interesting year. Starting it's with the firing of Steven Sinofsky on November 12th, a day I will never forget.
man.
I'm sorry. Actually, it goes well beyond that. It's really been 18 months or almost 2 years because Windows 8 came out a year ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And buying Nokia. That was a big
Yeah, thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow. Office is primarily a cloud service.
Office,
now.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know.
And you know, it's really interesting to see people like Apple, former Apple International President Jean-Louis Gasset, ream Apple over its iWork and say Microsoft's killing it with Office 365. When you see Apple stalwarts like that saying stuff like that,
true.
You know, this strategy has worked. Now, if Google stalwarts start saying Bing's the thing, then you'll know. Then.
We'll get
them. Yeah, Android is now 80%, right? But that's 80%. That's globally. But let's talk about Windows Phone.
Well, I mean, okay, but you know, it's not like there's the United States is 50% of the world.
Right.
I mean, we're not even the biggest smartphone market
right.
in the world anymore.
Right.
So,
no,
it's important to look at that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's important. I look at the look at the U.S. market as well, of course. But you know, these things come out quarterly from IDC and Gartner. They look at smartphones, they look at tablets, they look at PCs. I've always paid attention to this stuff. But, you know, the one thing I would just say about Windows Phone, and I wrote a little bit about this today, is I've been writing about PC market share for years and years. And every quarter, Apple will come out and they'll say, oh, once again, we've grown at three times the pace of the PC market and Mac sales are up and it's crazy. And you know, you listen to them describe this quarter after quarter, and you think to yourself, my God, they must have like 37, 50% something. And it's like, nope, 4.6%. You know, like they grew so slow. I mean, to the point where now they're still like 6% worldwide. Now, obviously, in certain markets, they in the United States would be one of these. They probably have 20% of the market or 15% or whatever it is. And obviously, too, it should be noted, and I did write this today, they make a lot of money selling Macs. It's, you know, they have high margins. Those products make a lot of money. It's not a shabby business to be part of. But the reason I mention this now is Microsoft has experienced this kind of growth with Windows Phone. And so in a quarter where Android was up 51% year over year, iPhone was up almost 13% year over year, Windows Phone was up 156% year over year. And that sounds awesome. But they're up to 3.6% market share. So I mean, the thing I had said about the Mac, you know, 5 years ago or whenever this was, over time, I have to say now about Windows Phone, which is when you're tiny, it's easy to have huge jumps in market share, which are sales, because you're tiny. And that's, you know, it's hard to grow. When you have 81% of the market, you're not going to grow 156%.
There's nowhere
you're
to go. Yeah.
Some small amount. In fact, actually, Android sales are up an insane amount. Giving up.
It's crazy.
Up. Yeah,
and
so
it's probably due mostly to this Nokia 1020 from China that's running.
Yeah, Android. Sure.
Sure. I don't know if they count. I doubt they count these.
Well, the other thing is, you know, a lot of the Windows Phone success that we're seeing this year in particular is the result of these low cost devices like
right.
the 520, the 521,
yeah.
the 620,
yeah.
et cetera. You know, $100 to $150 on. Locked contract-less phones. They represent a tremendous value, and they're great little devices, and that's cool. You know, IDC in their report about smartphone sales basically gave a couple of reasons why smartphones overall are up, and one of them, Windows Phone, is hitting big time, which is these low-cost devices. But the other one is phablets. Everyone except for Apple has phablets. And in the Windows Phone world, we just had our first phablets announced. They're not out yet. They're coming out soon. And so we'll see how they go. But I have to think, unfortunately, given the way excellent products like the Lumia 920, the 925, the 928, 1020 have done, which is to say not great. I mean, it's not that they've been disasters. They're just not taking the world by storm. It's not clear to me that Windows Phone will ever see the level of success with phablets that, say, a Samsung does. Or whoever else is selling these devices. And so that's kind of a concern. I mean, hopefully as people get more experience with Windows Phone, thanks to these low-cost devices, they start looking at the more expensive devices because you don't want to be the kind of, king of the swamp, right? You know, these kind of low-cost devices are good for market share, but they're not particularly good for margins and for making money and profits and so forth. And so that has to be part of the equation
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Surface, you want to talk
3.6%?
Hey, not bad. We'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, I want it to do well. I think it's a really nice UI. I think it's a great operating system. Now that you know, you're getting Instagram, you're getting the apps. Parody is definitely on the move.
It's not the same. I mean, I spend a lot of time going back and forth between phones, and the differences are very interesting. The similarities are very interesting, but I do sort of understand the appeal on an Android device or an iPhone to launch whatever that app is that you really want.
A more varied ecosystem. Everything's there now, and you know. Scope. But I have to say that there's enough parity at this point that I can say it's a matter of taste, not objectively better. So,
they're never going to leave. See, the app thing is never going to be fixed in the sense that we could have, someone said this on Twitter today, you know, we could have 500,000 apps and there's people are still going to complain because Android's going to have a billion.
Right. Yeah. And, you can't catch up at this point.
And, you know, that's always going to be.
Although Android caught up with iPhone. I mean, maybe you can catch up. It's just difficult because you have.
But Android caught up by virtue of the fact that their market share was
sold,
so huge. I
mean, right. They sold a lot of phones.
They're 81% of the market. So it's only natural that they would catch up.
The reason this is an issue for me is people call on the radio show and they often say, what phone should I get? And it used to be in 2007, you could say, well, get an iPhone because there really wasn't anything comparable. Right. Now I say, choose your carrier, look at the phones they have. And it's really a matter of personal taste, whether you're going to go Windows Phone, Android, or iPhone. I really don't think that there is an objective best.
Yeah.
And maybe there's that app you need. I mean, we used to say that. Yep. Remember that? We used to say that in the Mac versus Windows argument. Well, look at the apps you need to run and pick the operating system that has the apps you need. I guess we could say that again.
Yeah.
Although speaking about apps you need with mobile is kind of silly because there's rarely an app you need.
And these things do. Yeah, they do tend to change.
Or an app you want.
I mean, Microsoft's tried to differentiate with camera, too, right? Like, with all the Nokia parts.
Yeah, and great cameras.
Camera apps, the camera lenses, the 1020, obviously. So that's another way they've tried without having as many apps to at least kind of have something that would sway you as a customer when you're looking at which one should I get.
Right. Right. I guess that's just my point now is that you the choice is not quite as clear, and there is a certain amount of personal taste. And I think for a lot of people, when they look at Windows Phone, they go, oh, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, the low-cost devices are nice because they get them out in front of people. There are people who say, yeah, it's $99. I'll just take a chance on this. I'll give it to a kid. I'll do whatever. I'll use it as a second device. And it gets it into people's hands, and then they realize, like, actually, this thing is really nice. It helps that the 520 in particular is a great nice device. As well,
You see Google doing that with the Moto G, which is a low-cost Moto X.
Yeah, and I don't have one of those, but I mean, I will. It's not coming here until January, I think. But that device, which is what, like 180?
It's cheap.
Is a much higher-end phone, Android, which I think is huge for some people. And that's another one where people are going to say, you know, this thing is so inexpensive for what it is. You know, it kind of gets it out there. I hope that these phones, too, just on a more general point, change the dynamics of the smartphone industry where right now the real cost of an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy S, whatever, is or a Lumia 1020 is $600, $700 plus dollars. You know, that these devices that are sold without a contract for hundreds and hundreds of dollars less or less than the cost of an on-contract high-end phone.
Right.
I'm hoping that it helped to bring down the price overall for everybody.
Yeah. There you go. Speaking of dropping price, Surface RT. What is the right price for RT? I figure if they could get it down, even BlackBerry could sell its playbook at $99. They're not going to $99.
I'm going to buy a bunch of them and make Icarus wings. And I'm going to jump.
I'm going to the sun!
Yep.
So $199, right? This is the old RT, not the Surface 2.
Right.
$199.
And that's Black Friday, right? Black Friday pricing.
Yeah.
Can you... Okay, be honest with me. You can't recommend this at $199.
I'm still using mine.
Really?
Yeah. Still using mine.
Did 8.1 make... I think you said that. 8.1 made enough of a difference that it was worth
it
using.
Did.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's still not as fast as the Surface 2 in browsing because it has a slower CPU, but it's usable, I think.
Yeah. And
it depends what you want it for, right? Like for students, you know, taking notes, doing some basic tasks with Office. Hey,
pay no attention to that guy over there.
Just ignore that guy with the bad handwriting.
It's my new mime style of podcasting.
$199 though, that's good. That's less than a Nexus 7. That's cheap.
I know.
Yeah.
You'd be better off for the Nexus. The problem is it doesn't include the cover, right?
Right.
Actually, the Nexus 7 will be $199 on Black Friday as well, apparently.
Well, I will say this for the Surface RT at $199. I mean, it's not quite, you know, the $99 price of a Lumia 520 or whatever, but you know, at that price you are going to get a lot of people buying them, and it will give people an opportunity to experience that kind of Windows 8 X style interface on an actual touch machine, right? Instead of upgrading your laptop and not quite understanding what the point of all this is. I mean, those apps, you know, the mail app, calendar, the entertainment stuff, the weather app, and those great Bing content apps kind of come to life on a, you know, on a touch device, like a tablet. And the Surface RT will at least give you that. I mean, I don't think it's a viable alternative to a low-end laptop for most people necessarily, but it's sort of a secondary device, something you might sit on the couch with and you're watching TV, whatever, checking up on email as you do other things. It's at least it will give you that inroad into that ecosystem and you can check that stuff out. So Right. It's not a total
Loss.
Total wash, yeah.
I don't know. I've been switching back and forth between the Surface 2 and the Surface RT just in use around the house. Yeah. And I've been using both of them.
And you're not noticing a big difference?
Definitely some difference. But I don't know. It's not enough to make me say I'm going to go out and pay $450 for the Surface 2.
Yeah, as the geeks, Surface 2 is still pretty expensive. Yeah, that's true.
As geeks, we sometimes make a bigger difference out of a few percentage points in speed. Things like that.
I don't think it's that subtle, but the difference in cost is dramatic.
No one would ever fight over differences in hardware, would they?
Oh, Leo, of course they would. Welcome to Twitter.
Wait, what are you talking about, Xbox Ones? That's what this is all about, Craig. We're all trying to get Xbox Ones on Black Friday. I thought we were getting PlayStation 4s. What? me too. No, guys, when I said we're going to get the next-gen gaming systems, I was obviously talking about Xboxes.
Yeah.
But I want a PS4, not a crappy Xbox.
Look, guys, we all have to agree on one system.
Right, let's all get PS4s.
No, the Xboxes are going to be better. They're not better, they're just more expensive.
We are getting Xbox Ones, guys, and that is final.
Mary Jo,
exactly,
have you ever heard of
Xbox
South Park?
People are.
Yeah. I have.
If you guys don't want to join us on Black Friday to get Xboxes, then that's fine.
We're still going to fight on Black Friday, just not with you.
I'll leave the rest of this as an exercise for the viewer to go and find that Black Friday episode of South Park in which they debate over the minor differences between hardware devices.
Yeah. Well, and this is a little off topic, but what the heck? I mean, you know, right now in the waning days before anyone actually has these consoles, there's this huge debate. I'm certainly part of it online where people are hammering away at like these technical differences, you know, PS4 something processor does gigaflop something of this, and that's 30% more right there. So clearly the PS4 is the better machine, you know. That is not really how those things are decided, but more to the point, it's not how people buy products, you know. I mean, tech products, consoles, whatever. I mean, the PS3 was technically superior to the Xbox 360. It could do 1080p out of the box. The 360 could not. And that didn't really prevent these things from basically running neck and neck for the entire generation of the consoles. I mean, both of them sold pretty well. I mean, actually, I think it's fair to say that console sales overall are kind of going down over time. And I expect that to continue with the new generation. But, you know, these things are PC architecture. I think they're going to be easier for developers to get into and to take advantage of, and you'll see more impressive games down the road more quickly, say, than we did in the past.
Good.
And I think both of them are going to be successful, you know, in the context of the market that they sell within.
I end up being swayed by, and maybe this isn't going to be a real difference, but swayed by Microsoft's push to
media playback. Yeah, me too. Like that. That's
and
way
anyone neat. Who has invested in the Microsoft ecosystem, and I'll just destroy the order in which we're going to do
oh,
things.
Oh, were we going to get there later?
No,
sorry.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. It is obviously pretty well served by going with the Microsoft solution, right? Because it integrates with all that stuff that you already do with your Microsoft right. account, right. your SkyDrive. You know, if you're using the paying for an Xbox Music Pass, guess what? It works fine on the Xbox One. If you want to actually seamlessly take content from a Windows device and put it on an HDTV, you could do it with all kinds of things like Miracast and all this other stuff. Or you could just use the stuff built into the Xbox, and that stuff works great, unlike everything else.
And I like HDMI pass-through because that's going to make it much easier to integrate into my existing system.
I thought you were going to say it was going to make it easier to use your PS4 because you can also pass through that.
Oh, I could, couldn't I? I could have both playing at once. Oh, that's interesting. Course, I didn't think about that.
I'm going to do picture-in-picture Call of Duty.
The fact that they finally have a Blu-ray drive in there means that's, you know.
That helps it be that one
system. It's
going to
be my media extender, effectively, in my system. And I don't have a particular investment into the Xbox ecosystem. I mean, yeah, I have an Xbox Live account, but I also have a PlayStation account. And I mean, there's so many question marks anyway about what these machines will do. I think we can
something could change. I mean, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, whatever. We could be able to say, actually, as it turns out, the PS4 is much better. But I find it amusing that so many people are relying on like a spec sheet of numbers.
Well, that's
to
all
say,
we have right now. Isn't
clearly,
it?
I know, but you can't. That's not. You can't come to a decision.
You can't base it on launch excuses.
All right, we're over here in the Xbox team. And tell me who you are and what you do here.
I don't know how that happened. I'm sorry. It's SkyDrive on the Xbox One. Sorry about that.
That's Jeff Henshaw, by the way.
Yes. You recognize his voice, yeah.
Yep. So
that's another nice feature.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, that stuff actually works pretty good.
And I am invested in SkyDrive. I don't think Sony, maybe they do, but they have something like that? I don't think so.
It's the little things. And one of the things I demo in that video that I actually think is real-world benefit for some people is you go out in the world and you take photos in your phone. And if you have a Windows phone, they're being backed up automatically to SkyDrive.
Right.
And when you come home, you turn on your TV and you go to SkyDrive and your Xbox, and your most recent photos are there to watch in a slideshow automatically.
Why don't they do that on Android and iOS yet? I mean, Google does it on iOS as well as Android.
Well, I mean, iOS has some kind of a photo stream feature.
Yeah,
I'm sure it works.
No, Apple does, but I'm saying why doesn't Microsoft have a SkyDrive upload?
Oh.
Facebook does it. Google does it.
Oh, I see. I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, I don't even know if they do or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if they went there.
That would be great because I would turn that on immediately. Yeah. And I guess they have to decide, well, do we want to – what's more important? This is where that stack ranking comes in. Is it more important that people buy an Xbox One because of the SkyDrive integration with their iPhone, or is it more important that they buy a Windows phone because the iPhone doesn't have SkyDrive integration? And this is where you have conflicts between divisions that are all going to go away thanks to
this
the
new. This is why we need stronger gun control laws, Leo.
All right, back to where we were. I apologize for derailing this conversation.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Call of Duty, though, did we? Should we get to that or no?
Yeah, but can I tell you guys something you might not know about Xbox?
Oh,
yes.
Indeed.
Access to free games coming each month for Xbox Live Gold members on Xbox One, Major Nelson just announced.
Ooh. See?
Okay, so they're doing that now for Xbox 360, right? I think it was they announced it at E3, and it was a way to get people to sign up for the gold subscription. So every month until the Xbox One came out, they were going to give away two games.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Right.
Then
but this is going to go on.
Yeah, sometime in September ish, they announced. Actually, it's not time limited. We're going to keep doing it going forward. So 360 users will have that, you know, going forward. And what Mary Jo was saying is they're doing it for Xbox One as well, which is interesting because there is no stable of Xbox One games out there.
That makes sense with a legacy device. I don't understand.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they're going to do it next year. Next year, I should say.
Starting next year. So hold off
on
Matthew
Cromer told me that.
Oh, good. Okay. So Dead Rising 3 will be free in January, perhaps.
Woo! How about Notepad?
No.
No?
It's like you don't get it.
Guys, that's all that I care.
No.
Sorry.
I have actually bought furniture in anticipation of the Xbox One release.
Nice.
Have you really?
Yeah, motorized recliner. I've got a
I've got a new coffee table that rises up to greet me. I'm set. I will not be moving. I'm going to have the intravenous fluid pumped into my body, and I'll have the other stuff pumped out of my body, and then I will never move again.
You'll be just full of Xbox Live Gold.
I'll be like those guys in WALL-E that just, you know, sit in the chair and drink their big gulps. Surface firmware updates coming out. What are these for?
I don't know. It was so
hard to get Tuesday. Paul back on track when you
Xbox
want him.
I know. He wants to talk about Call of Duty.
I know.
We need to move on. I agree.
No, we do need to move on. But this was Patch Tuesday this week. So right. Microsoft rolled out a whole bunch of Surface updates for almost all of the different Surface surfaces.
So firmware updates can come by a Patch Tuesday as well.
They come through.
Okay.
Windows update. Yep.
That makes sense. I mean, it should.
So the one that got the most updates this week was Surface 2, the ARM-based Surface 2. And they got some updates for the type cover and touch cover improvements, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth driver updates, camera improvements, battery life improvements, supposedly, and system performance and stability. All of those for the Surface 2.
Big deal.
Yep.
Big deal.
I don't know. You know, Surface 2 was supposed to have, 10 hours of battery life? I still have never gotten it to have 10. Have you ever, Paul?
Well, yeah. Everybody knows that Notepad is a real battery.
I know. It's a hog.
It's a battery hog. No, we're joking.
The people have written about Surface 2 battery life have had such different results. It makes me wonder if there wasn't some, you know, good batch or bad batch or something. I mean, but I've had good luck with that.
I just think battery life measurement on mobile devices is very difficult because there's no standard use. And so people have all different, we ran a movie for 10 hours or, you know, and I mean, just, it's not.
Like your a diesel car, you know, my wife's car can go on the highway and gets 48 miles of the gallon, but you drive it around town and it's like 13.
Right. Your mileage may vary. And I think it's just so hard. So all you can really say is some sort of percentage improvement or, you know, if you got 4 hours, you'll get six, or if you got six, you'll get 12, or I don't know. I mean, that's all you can say because everybody's different, I think.
Right.
This is true on all mobile devices.
The big deal to me about the Surface firmware update stuff, not this month in particular, but just in general, is that almost every month since each device has been introduced, they've released a firmware update that has improved something, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that PC users just never saw before.
Yeah.
You know, we'd randomly get updates, obviously, for hardware and so forth, but. Microsoft has been really good about this, and it speaks to their contention all along that, you know, if we were just had direct charge of this stuff, you know, this would go a lot more smoothly and people would have a really good experience. So obviously there are problems here and there. I think there was one update maybe last month where people were having issues connecting the typing covers and so forth, and I think that maybe that one was fixed this month or whatever. But I just love the regular update cadence they kind of have on Surface. It's a nice benefit of having that system, one of those systems.
And you know what? It's very complicated when you think about what they have to do. They have to update Surface RT, Surface 2, Surface Pro, and Surface Pro 2. Some of these are running Windows 8. Some are running Windows RT. Some are running Windows 8.1. Some are running Windows RT 8.1. So they're doing different updates for whatever you have there. And if you look at their list of updates, it's very dependent on which operating system you have, on which device, which generation device. So that's a pretty big job. But they're updating everybody, even the original first generation users too. So that's really great.
Imagine if we had phones like this. How awesome that would be.
Now, have you done your Venue 8 real review?
Yeah, I finally did write the review.
What do you think? Well, I have never seen so much interest.
I know.
In a tablet. People are really interested in this. Is it because of the price?
That was actually the most daunting part of actually writing the review, because I knew as soon as I did, I was going to get complaints no matter which way I came down on it, you know. And I did it by being wishy-washy, which is my greatest strength. But It's a tough one because we don't have we don't have many devices like this yet. I mean,
is this the only 8-inch Windows 8?
No, there's a few. I mean, we have this Lenovo Mix 2 that's kind of out, kind of not out. There's an Acer Konya AW4 that is either out or coming out soon. There's a Toshiba Encore that's coming soon. So by the end of the year, we'll have four new ones, and plus the W3 that came out in June. It's weird because for years, one of the original complaints I had about the first iPad was they got the screen size wrong. They needed to make a smaller screen. That would have been better. Later that year, I think it was the same year Amazon came up with the first Kindle Fire. The following year, Google came out with the Nexus 7. Apple, of course, eventually came out with the Mini, which is an 8-inch screen, but roughly the same size. And now we're finally getting the first, Windows Mini tablets. And this form factor has kind of proven itself, just not on Windows. And so, Windows 8.1 obviously has improvements that make it work better on such devices. It works really well in portrait mode. The hardware is caught up. The Bay Trail CPU is fantastic. And the performance is actually really good. In fact, it's so good, I'm kind of curious about low-cost, full-size tablets now with keyboards, like a Surface RT-type device, but running on Bay Trail. Like, what would that be like? I guess the only problem, though, is it's Windows. So Windows, of the mobile OSs, when comparing it to iOS and Android, is in many ways the most lacking when it comes to app availability, the ecosystem support, and so forth. And so, it's funny because we finally have this great hardware, and it is really great. It's a nice device. I mean, there are some design decisions I think are a little odd, but overall, it's a great device. The thing that's holding it back has nothing to do with Dell or, any hardware maker. It's just that the kind of ecosystem isn't there quite yet. So it depends on your needs. Mary Jo wants a Notepad. Notepad is on this tablet, so this would be a good choice for her.
Notepad. You're getting closer and closer to your reporter's notepad.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm like stupid and compulsive enough, and I think there are a lot of people like this in the tech world that I do imagine. Could I travel with this thing? Right? Could I do this stupid bag full of junk thing where I have like this tiny tablet, a Bluetooth keyboard, a mouse, and does that make any sense at all? And I think for most people, ultimately, the answer is probably no. But I do think about that kind of stuff. People write in and they tell me, this is the type of thing if you're doing, foot on the ground type help in a company and you have to go to people's desktops and you need to look stuff up, it's kind of neat to be able to carry this little thing around. And depending on the type of pants you wear, you could potentially put it in the pocket. if you're a pant.
Cargos.
You'd have to have some big pockets.
Yeah. Or a really big butt.
Actually, I carry the iPad Mini around in my butt.
Well, but you see, okay, so that's about the same size. It's actually a little wider.
I'm looking at your screenshot picture on your website.
Yeah, so I don't have a mini yet, but the new iPad mini, but the machine on the right is roughly the same size.
That's the Kindle HDX.
The HDX, yeah.
That's and the middle is the Nexus 7, and then on the left is the Venue Pro 8-inch. It's a little bigger, but it's also 16:9, so it's a little...
It's an 8-inch screen, yeah. 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 The other two are 7s, yeah. So it's kind of tough to come to a conclusion about it because ultimately I think what this is a product where people know they want it already, and I think what most people are interested in is it missing something that I think I really need, like HDMI out? It doesn't have, which is kind of a curious omission.
When am I getting my 2520?
Yeah.
We want to get ours too.
That's Surface 2, not, I mean, RT. I mean, oh God, what is it? It's not Pro.
It's Nokia ARM-based.
Hardware, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't, okay, now I know I'm not supposed to say Surface RT anymore. I'm supposed to say Surface 2 and Surface 2 Pro. But can I use the RT designation on a third-party device?
Yep.
I am. Sure. Okay. Sure. So Nokia is going to say that the Lumia 2520 comes with Windows RT.
They should say that. I don't know if they will say
that. It does. Yeah, it does.
But we understand.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
What's the
Dell
official?
The Dell's few is full Windows.
Yeah, right? So that's a big difference.
Yeah.
Some advantages, although full Windows is a little weird on a tiny device. But
I'm going RT, baby. I've decided that's the future of Windows. Mary Jo's convinced me.
All right, nice.
Yeah. Well, you might want to get in line on Black Friday and get one of those nice cheap RT devices.
No, I have one of them.
Well, I'm curious what the Surface Mini is going to be. I think it's going to be ARM device.
Oh,
well, that's what it's a Qualcomm device. So
it
actually
Surface.
Of course, they didn't release it this year. So originally that was the deal.
Right.
So the the Nokia tablet that's coming out, the 2520, is a Qualcomm device. And I think that will give you a rough idea of what the performance and battery life and so forth might have been like on this Surface Mini.
That's, to me, the question for you with regards to the Dell Venue. Is an 8-inch Windows 8 Pro device, does that make sense? Or if when you get to that size, should you really be going with RT?
Well, yeah, okay. So it depends. In the sense that in the Windows world, it's a little different because we have baggage, you know?
Right.
We have legacy baggage in the form of applications or whatever that we, for whatever reason, may want to run. This at least allows you to bring something forward. I mean, it's not ideal. You know, people will do this. It's not, you shouldn't run Visual Studio on it. You shouldn't run Photoshop on it. But you could. It's just a question of,
you know, I'm not looking for that. See, I'm looking for something.
Well, I mean, maybe you're into Windows, but you use iTunes, you know, for whatever reason.
Then you're stuck, right?
iTunes would at least run on this thing, and you could get access to all of that content you bought.
It will not run on an RT device.
Right. And so there's a benefit there. I mean, it just depends on what your needs are. I think you need to stick to the RT type, and, you know, the WinRT environment, the Windows Store environment. We need a name for this, by the way. But whatever it is, the Metro environment. But that's what's lacking, right? I mean, that's the problem. You see the kind of the issue here.
Yes.
This device makes most sense for that kind of environment.
Yes.
It's just that's what's lacking.
Well, we'll find out. Next week it's coming out same time as the Xbox One.
What is?
The, I don't know. I've forgotten. The 2520.
Is that true?
2520, yeah.
It is?
Yes.
How do you know that?
I just looked at a link. Verizon's already leaked that they're going to be offering a deal on Black Friday.
Really?
Now, let me see. I think The Verge told me.
Yeah, 2520.
No, this is from Win Beta, and apparently Nokia has released getting started videos, and it says.
I've seen probably on 2520, but I've never seen for sure.
Well, maybe they should have stuck a probably.
Yeah, I don't know of a date, but. Certainly, it has to be between now.
See, I read this and I believed it. My mistake.
Yeah.
Well, it
might be true.
I don't know.
They don't source it.
It's curious because, well, it's not impossible. None of us have review units on that yet.
Right.
But that's, I mean, they could give it to people, some people and not others. They could give it closer to the date it's going to actually be out.
Yep.
Our show today brought to you by audible.com. Have you read any of the John Jakes, the Kent Family Chronicles? I haven't read them. They're advertising them on the front page now. This is my kind of thing. I love historical novels. You know, he's the zombie guy. Fallout. Yeah. You're reading zombie stuff?
No. I just saw Zombie Fallout.
Yeah, there's also Zombie Fallout. So it's tough. There's The Bastard, The Rebels, The Seekers, The Furies, The Titans, The Warriors, The Lawless,
like the
Americans. Good Lord, there are a lot of them. And by the way, just even though there's eight of them, they're each around 20 to 25 hours. So you're going to get your Audible money's worth. I'm going to put aside the first one, the Kent Family Chronicles. I like this kind of book. I don't know why. Did it just draw you in? I'm looking for a new book on Audible. I just finished Inside Scientology, which was really, a really interesting read. Boy, there's so many great things. History, fiction, obviously, science fiction. Classics, everything. The new Mike Tyson autobiography with a big picture of him on the front, Undisputed Truth.
By the way, I met him in line at an Apple store in Phoenix many years ago.
No.
And he is...
He's big.
Shall I say, batshit crazy.
Well, he's taken a few blows to the head.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah, he has a tiger. So what are you listening to, Mr... Paul
so
Front.
My pick this week, I should say, as a matter of full disclosure, I'm actually reading on the Kindle, not listening to the Audible version, because I'm still slogging to get through The Shining by Stephen King.
But, your mistake. That's the Audible. Yeah, you listen to a lot of Stephen King on Audible. Yeah,
I know.
And they're so long.
But you know, I'm always looking out for industry books, of which there aren't really a lot anymore, or they don't seem to come out enough. And so this one was kind of a no-brainer because it's, you'll see when you see the title. So... It's called Dogfight, How Apple and Google Went to War and Started a
Revolution. I'm dying to read this,
Yeah. Fred Vogelstein or Steen.
Yeah, not Dogfight, a Love Story. The other Dogfight.
No, not Dogfight, a Love Story. Although that's probably pretty good, too. It's not a particularly long book, but the thing that I really like about it is how recent most of it is. It basically starts at the release of the iPhone and goes from there.
Oh,
and it kind of alternates chapters between Apple and Google. So Apple releases the iPhone.
Oh, I got to read this. Yeah.
Apple releases the iPad, Google, you know, and all of the stuff that went on, the kind of the backroom stuff with Eric Schmidt, where, you know, being on the board of Apple while his company was developing a product they were hoping that would kill off the iPhone and so forth. So it's really interesting. It can be a little leaden in some spots. And every once in a while he'll make some comment where I wonder, does he really know what's going on here? Like, some of the...
He covered it says for 10 years. What did it,
10 days? Yeah,
10 days. 10 days. 10 days. He's new to the no. So who did he write for?
It was.
He used to write about Microsoft. Oh, as all right. I recall.
Okay, so he is.
He got a couple of Microsoft things wrong though, which just kind of makes me a little weird. But it's not horrible. It's
we're a little more focused on that. Yeah.
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 Well,
he wrote a great article in the New York Times. I'm not sure if it's excerpted from this. I suspect it might be.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. The one that this is recent, where the backstage guys who did the iPhone
launch
stuff.
Of the iPhone. Yeah, that's from this?
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
So
that was worth reading. Just
you know
that,
what this is
get
for
the
me.
Book
like,
for
I,
that.
I cover this stuff for a living, right? So I'm going to be.
Yeah, you're nitpicky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I used to work in banking, and so every time I see a bank heist movie, like anything that involves like a bank vault and how they get into it.
They don't put the dye packs in the $100 bills. They put the
I've never seen it done accurately.
Those idiots. The dye is purple, not blue. Yeah.
It's not as bad as some of the awful Microsoft stuff that came out during the trial. There were some horrifically bad books written about Bill Gates.
Exploitation books, yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah, so it's not like.
But Fred is good, and I have to say that chapter, which I was excerpted.
Great story!
Wow.
And by the way, that one is interesting because it's new information. I mean, there's a tendency in this book to say, Rubin was quoted by in a book in the Plex, and he said this, or this guy said this to this author. Right. And there's a lot of that kind of stuff where it's like secondhand information, kind of collating it all together to tell the whole story. It's okay, that's fine, but there are bits of. Original information, that kind of behind the scenes stuff, iPhone launch stuff. It's a good example where it's just really interesting. And if you're interested in the industry at all, it's absolutely worth reading.
Right.
Either way,
I can't wait. So here's the reason we're mentioning this, besides the fact that they are a longtime sponsor of the show. Actually, that's the real reason.
That's pretty much.
We're doing it because of the Benjamins. But but we also are Audible fans. We love audiobooks from Audible, and we invite you to become one of us. If you go to audible.com/windows, you can, for free, get your first book. And that'll give you a sense of what Audible is like. I have to say, I don't get in the car without an Audible book running. I don't go to the gym. I mean, there's nothing more boring than a treadmill unless you have a great audio book going. And I always do. I always do. I am right in the middle of the kind of my favorite part of this, having finished a book today, like, right as I was pulling up today. That's why I was a few minutes late. I was sitting in the car finishing the Inside Scientology book. Now I have to go to my library and look at it. And I have so many great books in my library. So why don't you start building your library? Go to audible.com/windows. You'll be signing up for the Gold account. That's a book a month. Your first month's free. Your first book's free. Cancel any time in the first 30 days. Play nothing. Here's one. Turkish Phase 1. Maybe I should go back to learning Turkish. They have language lessons in here. I got this when we were going to Turkey. Audible.com/windows. Your first book's free. Pay nothing in the first 30 days. I think you get to keep that book forever, so I think you're going to enjoy it. And by the way, subscriptions also include the daily audio digest of either the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. So your commute will suddenly be transformed. Audible.com/windows. So, since you were in the banking industry, I just got the new $100 bill. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very Euro-esque.
It's colorful, but it's also got some really interesting anti-counterfeiting stuff. I don't know if it'll show up on camera. Yep. But when you tilt it, this strip stuff moves in it. This would be very hard to counterfeit.
This is like 20 years ago now, but after I was out of banking, I was in a Papagino's or some pizza shop, and person in front of me was paying with a $20 bill from the early 60s. And the person who took it said, this is counterfeit. I can't take this.
I've never seen a green bill.
It's fine. And she said, I can tell it's fake because it doesn't say In God We Trust.
Oh, yeah, they didn't. What? That came later.
Like, well,
people think that was how it began.
Yeah.
But no, this was in the, they put this in later. Yeah, this is a big, widely used.
We haven't gone multicolor more quickly than we have here. So this is.
Yeah. What, and look, his Liberty Bell is like, huh.
Yeah. You can scratch and sniff that, Leo.
Smells like money.
Actually, it smells like cocaine for some reason. That's, that's really strange.
It says Rob Ford was here. This came from the new casino, which has just opened up the road a bit. We have a new...
ATM dispense that? You ever go to like a casino? And
that's exactly it. I asked for $300. Really? It gave me three bills.
That is the worst.
Like, I can't use this.
Yeah.
You can get... And it's the only ATM I've ever seen where you can get $1,000 cash. But then it has a big sign. If you've got a gambling problem, call this number. But if you don't, here's some more money to spend. Here's
it's
the rent
call,
money.
Though, so put $100 in there first.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think we're going to have... Just don't tell anybody. And if you want to come out, you can. Our Christmas party there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're going to give all the employees one of these Benjamins. We're going to have...
Nice.
Yeah, we'll say, go out, enjoy yourself, but don't come back to me when you're out. And if you win, I want 50%. Moving along. Thank you, Audible.com, for your support of this show, allowing our employees to once again have a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. We mentioned the Windows Phone growth. Let's talk. Everybody's been waiting for it. I'm excited. Visual Studio 2013 is out.
It is. And you know what? I know this sounds like it's going to be boring, but Microsoft pulled off a big coup this week at their Visual Studio launch. They had a bunch of stuff that nobody knew about to announce. And it all involved the cloud, which was pretty cool. So they introduced in New York this week at their launch a suite of tools called Visual Studio Online. So there are some tools that already existed as part of Team Foundation Service. So hosted source control, work item, and agile planning kinds of services. They also announced an Elastic load testing service and an analysis service that lets you look into the health and availability and performance of your apps. So those are all pretty cool. But the coolest one, because of things we've talked about on Windows Weekly, was this thing codenamed Monaco. And what Monaco is, it's a subset of the Visual Studio functionality in a browser. So you can actually use any modern browser, so Chrome, IE, Safari, I believe, also. And you're going to be able to actually do some development work in the browser as if it were Visual Studio. Now, it's not everything that's in Visual Studio in a browser. That's impossible. But remember, we've been talking on the show, how would Microsoft get Visual Studio on a Surface RT or an ARM-based device? Because right now, you can't put it on there. Well, you're going to be able to at least do some of your development in the browser on ARM-based tablets, it looks like. So that is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
How about that?
Like robots making robots.
And they're going to have Xamarin.
The Xamarin guys, right?
Not Xamarin.
Yep.
So did you see that there? The Xamarin thing?
Yep.
So I knew
about this because there was a guy from Xamarin here a couple of weeks ago, and he was kind of...
Oh, was there really?
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah. Right.
So you can already... you already can use Xamarin within Visual Studio through add-ins.
It's kind of funny because Xamarin is full circle, was Mono, which was a .NET implementation for Linux, an open source .NET implementation, and now it's come back to Microsoft, which is very strange.
Right. So
what is the advantage? Because it's cross-platform, right?
Right. So if you're a developer and you want to use C# or F# to develop applications for iOS or Android, you could do that through Xamarin's tools, right? And so Microsoft, at first, when Xamarin was doing this, they were like, I don't know, do we want to be their friends? They're helping people develop apps for non-Windows platforms. But they've come around to realize that we don't really care if you're developing for other devices or Windows or whatever, as long as you're using our stuff like Visual Studio and our cloud, our Azure cloud as part of your app, we're happy. It's okay. So they did an agreement this week with Xamarin saying, we're going to be much more tightly integrated with them. They developed together a portable class library that you're going to be able to use cross-platform. And they have all these deals now where if you're an MSDN subscriber, you can get Xamarin training either for free or for a substantial discount. So it's a very much tighter partnership between these two companies. Some people are saying, when's Microsoft just going to buy them? It seems like it's obvious they're going to do this. I don't know if they're going to do it, but it's. I know there are a lot of developers who really like Xamarin, including a lot of listeners of this show. So it was all goodness this week that they tightened those ties up with the Xamarin guys.
That's cool.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, to me, the excitement here is that people get to use the best development environment and arguably the best of the languages to develop for iOS and Android instead of having in Xcode with Objective-C or in Eclipse or whatever you might use on Android to develop in Java. So, I mean, I don't know anything about the details of this. I'm not sure how, you know, if it's possible to create a single project where you, you know, have the different mobile app versions or whatever. I don't know how it works, but anything in this direction is of huge interest. So I hope this takes off.
Yeah,
this
everybody agrees Xamarin is really great and really cool.
Yeah.
So that's neat. That's great. And Facebook login integration now available on Windows Phone and Windows 8 apps. That's new?
Yeah. Well, it's not totally new, but what they did today was Microsoft and Facebook posted a bunch of APIs and documentation. So if you're a developer for Windows Phone 8 or Windows 8 and you want to build apps that take advantage of your Facebook credentials on any of the devices supported, you're going to be able to do that. So build an app that already takes advantage of the embedded Facebook credentials. And they announced that Adobe is going to be doing this, iHeartRadio. There are a couple others that they announced too. Foursquare. Yep.
I'm on iHeartRadio, so that means you can listen to my radio show on your Windows 8 or Windows Phone.
That's right. Yay. That's right. So, yeah, so if you're a developer and you want to take advantage of that, now you can go to the Facebook developer site or Windows Phone or Windows developer site and get the new APIs that are out and add that to your app. Pretty cool.
Coolness. Coolness. Speaking of SkyDrive, Amazon is now entering the fray in even greater form.
Yeah.
The virtual desktop in the cloud?
Yeah. A couple weeks ago, I recommended a book about Amazon.
I was going to ask you about that. Have you finished that?
Yeah. I mean, the only interesting bit in the book to me were the two technology chapters. So there's one about AWS and there was one about Kindle. And the thing that struck me about this, I ended up writing in like a commentary about it, was that several years before Microsoft did the same thing, Amazon embraced this services and devices kind of vision. You know, they did AWS cloud. They basically invented cloud computing as we kind of know it. And I don't really tend to think of Amazon as being particularly innovative, but it caused me to kind of rethink things there. So now they're launching it's essentially VDI in the cloud, like virtual desktop infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And I saw this and I thought, okay, they need to do this. It makes sense. I can see why they're doing this. Clearly, Microsoft already has this in Windows Azure. And I continue to be not as up on Windows Azure as I need to be. So I went to the Azure website and looked around. And they don't, actually. Ah. I mean, they sort of do. You know, anyone can start a VM in Azure and you could connect to it remotely, obviously. But as far as like a managed infrastructure for businesses that want to do VDI on a device. And the point of VDI, if you don't know, is that the two kind of models for corporate computing is you could hand out rich clients to users, and those are PCs, obviously. They're expensive to buy, they're complex to maintain, and they're problematic for all the reasons everyone knows PCs are problematic. Or you could spend all the money and put it in the data center, and you could do VDI, and you could give out thin client computing, computer devices to users, and they could access a desktop that's sitting on a server somewhere. And now all of your your computing resources are up on the server. Cloud-based VDI is hosted externally, and obviously there are issues there, not just security and all that, but latency issues, you know, performance issues over the wire, and Amazon has some solutions along those lines. In the Amazon view of the world, which makes sense because it is the way the world is, you know, people might be using iPads or Android tablets or whatever. You know, they don't have to. It could be anything. It could be a PC too. But the idea is that with your device, you can run Windows apps, Office, Adobe Reader, whatever. But the amazing bit to me was Microsoft doesn't already do this. That's crazy. But I think Mary Jo has some information about something that works.
I do. So the way I didn't really read through the Amazon announcement as closely as I could have, but I saw people saying the way they're doing this is it's hosted on it's Windows Server hosted on Amazon Web Services that's letting them do this. Okay. And so Microsoft's right now, if you're a hosting partner of Microsoft, you can do this, but you have to do it the same way. You have to have Windows Server hosted on Windows Azure, and you build a service like this.
And you have to do it yourself, right? Which I think is the complex part.
But Microsoft is building this themselves. It's a product codenamed Maharo that we've talked about on Windows Weekly before, and it's going to be Windows Desktop as a hosted service on Windows Azure. They're in the middle of building this right now, and supposedly it's going to launch around the second half of 2014. And it'll be interesting to see how different or similar that is from what Amazon announced today. But they are on their way to building it, I've heard, and it's making progress. It's not out yet.
I wonder if it will be individual implementations of Windows desktops versus what you're saying, which is one Windows Server for some group of users. Which is the way
you figure they're going to do that, right? Or some tie into Office 365 or slash subscription, right? There'll be some way they do it that's their spin on it. But don't worry, it's coming and they're doing it. And it'll be interesting, too, to see how much is this going to impact their Microsoft's relationship with Citrix, because Citrix has kind of been their lead partner going out with these kind of solutions.
Yeah, there's always been an internal, well, not always, but for a long time, there was an internal debate at Microsoft over which was the better approach. Obviously, the Windows client guys wanted Windows client, and the server guys were like, oh, VDI, you know, VDI. I mean, you're going to spend a lot of money and, have a lot of management resources somewhere where you did it, you know, depending on which vision you kind of went with. But it seems like the Amazon one is literally traditional VDI moved to the cloud.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see. We'll see if it takes off.
Cool. We did video game systems. Let's not bring that up.
We should do it again, though. Let's do it again.
I was going to say, this is not my item on the budget.
I snuck in some stuff while you were muted.
I think we've covered. Is there anything else to say?
Is there a fourth Call of Duty item on this list?
There should be. just to balance this all out, because I think people are saying, well, it's unfair giving it all this attention. I will be covering Assassin's Creed on the next week's episode.
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding.
I've been looking at Killzone on the PS4.
Killzone. Nothing on the PS4. I didn't buy a PS4. I feel burned by Sony.
You should.
I don't know. I guess because
I actually think the diciest thing about the PS4 is Sony.
Sony.
Yeah, because they haven't really come through on anything. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm very curious to see it, but I think the big problem is going to be this stuff is going to come and go, and we're going to say, you know, we're still outputting at 1080p. So, you know, small refinements in graphics quality, what are we looking at here? You know, what's the point of this?
Right.
So I'm curious about this, but I'm also me, so I kind of know how it's going to go. You know?
Let's get to our picks and our tips. And yes, Mary Jo's back, so we will have a code name and enterprise pick and even beer. Paul did pick a beer last week.
Thanks.
Well, didn't you, Paul? You mentioned a beer.
We talked about beer, yeah.
We talked about beer. We had a beer during the show.
Right.
Our tip of the week today for Mr. Paul Thurrott.
Yeah, this one's kind of a fun one. Microsoft had kind of pre-announced this before it was available, so there's no way to test it until some recent updates to Windows 8.1. But if you have Windows 8.1, and you have, that comes with, obviously, Internet Explorer 11, and it also comes with Xbox Music, which I happen to use and like a lot. I feel like I'm in some kind of a tiny minority there. But Xbox Music is a strange deal because the people that were using the Microsoft stuff in the past, whether it was Windows Media Player or Media Center or Zune, all feel kind of burned by Xbox Music because, you know, it's taking everything away. And then there's the rest of the world, probably the other 99% that doesn't care about Xbox music one way or the other because they use iTunes or Google Play or whatever it is. But I actually like Xbox music quite a bit. I think it works really well on the phone. I think it works really well on Windows PCs and devices and everything. I think it's kind of a great solution, but that's not here or there, I guess. So they have these integration bits in Windows 8.1 that are really cool. And so one of the things you can do is access the share charm from Internet Explorer, the Metro version, and you can use that to create a playlist in Xbox Music. So, for example, if you were to do a web search for a band you like, you know, Van Halen or Def Leppard or whatever, from that Bing search page, you bring up the share charm, select Xbox Music, it will create a playlist based on that band. It can be a playlist of that band's music. It can be a playlist of music that is like the music that that band makes. And so you can use it as a way to generate playlists that are kind of a music discovery type thing. But you can also find a playlist of music. Maybe you saw a favorite band play in concert, and you could go to find their set list. You could make a playlist of that. The set list becomes the playlist. You can do that kind of thing. It's really kind of a cool feature. So I use Bing as the example because Bing search is a kind of an obvious way to do it. But really, it's any web page that has any kind of thing about music, meaning a song list or artist names is a way to generate a playlist. It's kind of a fun thing to play with if you use Xbox Music and you like music and use Windows 8.1. So I've just really narrowed down the field there, but kind of a cool feature for that.
I just found out I've been paying monthly for my Xbox Music for like the last 2 years and not even...
Oh, I just found out my son's been paying monthly for his Xbox Music Music Pass that I didn't know he had on my credit card.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
a lot of that going on.
Funny
around.
How those things sneak in.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
I assume that was you. Right. As you would.
Yeah, as you would. So we were talking about apps for Windows Phone, and Instagram come yet?
No,
they just announced they were doing it.
Yep.
Path, they're going to do.
Yep.
But Twitter's
so Vine
done
came out
Vine.
This week.
Yay!
Yeah, which I don't Vine. Care about personally. I don't know if you probably
well,
don't.
The kids do though. The kids.
I posted. I posted a Vine-like video to Facebook yesterday that I thought was kind of funny. It was actually only 5 seconds long.
I saw that. I was puzzled by the whole thing, but now I understand.
Everyone was so. We're on the train. I'm with my son going to the.
You went Boston. To the new Celtics game.
It's like watching children play basketball for the first time. The Celtics are going to be terrible this year.
Yeah.
But anyway. This woman gets on the train and just starts pole dancing with her headphones on. It was the most insane thing. I've seen crazy stuff on subway systems in Europe, but this was the most insane thing I've ever seen anyone do on a subway. And everyone in the group of people that were on our end of the train just started. I mean, it was we just all looked at each other and burst out laughing. And she started singing to her stuff. But at one point, the train stopped and these people came in, you know, as they would from the station. And I just kind of said, enjoy the show, everybody. It was crazy.
Hello, everybody. My name is Paul Theriot. I am a blogger. I do not make money in my profession. However, this girl will dance for you, and
so
you
way,
can give me a dollar.
That is an amazing imitation of her voice because her phone rang. And apparently, without turning down the music, she just started talking to the person who was on the phone.
Yelling.
So she was yelling.
Yelling. Yeah. I'm in the train. Dancing.
Yeah, it was literally just like that. So that was my attempt at a Vine video.
It's too short. You got six whole seconds, Paul.
I didn't
you
have
blew
Vine
it
at the time.
Now that you have Vine, I think we expect more from you, Paul.
So that's one software pick.
Yep.
And I won't beat the other ones to death, but there are a bunch that came out this week that are really cool. One is yet another amazing camera app from Nokia called Nokia Refocus. You have to have a Lumia, I believe, to use this, and you do have to have the Amber update, which is a Nokia update part of, that came with GDR2, right? GDR2, I think it was GDR2. Anyway, if you've ever seen the photos that you can do with a Lumia 1020 in particular, it does this kind of I don't know what you call it. It's almost like a foreshortening kind of effect or whatever, where the thing in the front is focused and the rest of it is really blurred out, and it's got this kind of really cool look to it. And with this app, what you can do is take a photo of a scene where there are foreground objects and background objects of various depths. You just take a photo. You don't focus on anything. You just take the photo. And what it really does is take multiple photos. And then you can later go to the picture and tap on the part of it that you want to be focused. And it focuses that part.
Oh, like a Lightro.
It's amazing.
That's really interesting. See, now they do that in Lytro. They do it with very sophisticated hardware.
Okay.
So I don't understand how you could do it with a camera phone.
You do it right on the camera. It's excellent. So that's a cool one. And it's free. So you just get it, you know, for having a Nokia device. It's really neat. The other one is something we've been waiting for a little while. This is an example.
So if I just click this,
you can click anywhere.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't understand. I mean, the Lytro's doing this with very fancy hardware. It must take many pictures. So it's doing the same basic idea. Mm-hmm. So it's taking 8 or 9 pictures at different focal points. Yep. And
I took some pictures of like stuff in my living room and I went outside and took pictures. It's like, it's pretty impressive. I'll write something
up
soon.
That's wild.
Like, more versions of the
photos. That is just wild.
Yeah, it's neat.
So the Lytro is like this hugely expensive camera. It's not even as good as the Lumia 1020. Well, there goes that business.
It's good.
Wow.
The other one is this game, Asphalt 8, which is the latest, you know, racing game in the Asphalt series. We just got Asphalt 7 right when Asphalt 8 was coming out for every other platform, but somebody, the game maker or Microsoft, announced that the version 8 would be out soon. So this is the latest version. It's out for Windows, meaning Windows 8 and RT, and also for Windows Phone. I screwed up the second link. That second link is just for Windows Phone, but Windows Phone 8, I believe, only. And it's pretty cheap for like a kind of a A-list title game. I think it's $2.99.
It's a great game. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, it's a great game. Yeah. So it's a good one to throw on your phone. Yeah. Down.
This was also shipped with the launch of the iPad. $1.99, though. I think it's $8 on the iPad. That's more expensive.
I want to say Asphalt 7 was like $6.99 when it first came out.
Yeah.
This one is, it's $1.99.
Wow, good deal.
Yeah.
They're trying to get that Windows market going. Jumpstart that there. It's Windows Phone 8 Airborne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now Mary Jo Foley will regale us all with tales of the Enterprise Pick of the Week.
Yes, the Enterprise Pick of the Week is Exchange Server this week. And the reason is Microsoft posted a blog saying, hey, weren't you wondering when you were going to see the next version of Exchange Server?
I was.
The one that's following Exchange Server 2013. I know you guys can't wait.
Can't wait.
But they didn't really tell us when. They just said it'll be according to our usual release cadence, which is 2 to 3 years after the previous version.
Okay.
So if you look at when they RTM'd the previous version, it was on 10/11/12. So it was October. 12. So we've hit 1 year. Right. Now we're going to be either next fall or slightly thereafter for the next version of Exchange.
Okay.
This is interesting because usually they do the entire Exchange, entire Office suite at the same time, right? So you see Office client typically tied to Office server. You see them all RTM at once. So this is a hint that maybe the next client-based version of Office Exchange, SharePoint, and Link for on-premises use is going to be around next fall. The reason they put this blog post out is interesting, too. There had been a lot of rumors saying Microsoft might not do any more on-premises versions of Exchange and instead would only do Office 365, the cloud version. And they dispelled that right out and said, nope, that's not what we're doing. We're going to do many more versions of Exchange Server on-prem, so don't worry, it's coming. The one thing they teased in the blog post, though, was they said, I bet you're wondering when Service Pack 1 is coming for Exchange Server. And they said, oh, we're not going to tell you that. We'll tell you some other time. So at least we know it's coming. It's coming. So all you Exchange users, don't worry. You don't have to go to the cloud. You can maybe go to the cloud when you want, but you don't have to go right now because there will be another version of Exchange Server.
To the cloud.
To the cloud.
To the cloud.
Whatever happened to those ads?
Yeah, whatever did happen to those ads.
Are they gone?
Yes, they are.
Long gone. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Our enterprise or otherwise code name of the week.
Yes. So this week, I mentioned I went to the Visual Studio launch in New York. And in the middle of the launch, there was a demo. And a lot of times, like a lot of press, I kind of tune out on the demos at developer events because they are very, very code heavy. And I'm not a coder. But this one, I happened to be watching, and the guy was demoing Fresh Paint, you know, the Microsoft app that they built.
Cool. Yeah.
He showed two versions of Fresh Paint. One that he said was the old version, and one was this newer version that somehow was way faster and more performant than the other one. And so I started kind of looking into this a little bit, and it turns out what is happening with that is they're doing special compiling on the back end. So they're taking .NET applications that they built for Windows Store, and they're doing something to them on the with compiler technology from C++, so that they're basically taking a managed app and they're turning it into a native app. And this is something I've been chasing for a long time. It's codenamed Project N, whatever this technology is that makes the magic happen. And they demoed this at the show. They never called it Project N. They never said that's what they were showing. But they did actually show it. And when I contacted them after the show, they admitted, yes, we did show something today that allows .NET applications to be natively compiled to improve their startup performance. And they wouldn't say when it's coming out. I hear that they're going to make this available next year. But it was interesting to finally hear and see what Project N was.
I was under the impression that Windows Store apps were not .NET apps. Right?
Correct.
So,
well, no, you can do that with XAML, right? So you can build a Windows Store app using .NET/XAML and put that
okay,
on Windows Store.
But this technology will compile Windows Store apps and whatever .NET will. Does it apply to things like WPF or?
Yeah, good question. That part I don't know. I don't know exactly what the limitations will be. And will it be only apps that you can buy in the Windows Store? Or will it be, like you're saying, Win32 apps that you could somehow compile and put them in the store? I don't know about that part.
Sure.
But yeah, it could be interesting because they're doing something on the back end so that they're taking care of the compiling for you with Project N, is my understanding. So kind of interesting.
We take care of the compiling for you.
Exactly.
So you don't have to.
It's just what every housewife in the 1950s needs.
And okay. Finally, oh, and we should, somebody in the chat room is telling me that Asphalt 8 is free on iOS, but of course there's lots of in-app purchases. So it's freemium. I think that's where everybody's going, at least on iOS. And finally, our beer of the week. Straight from the men's room to your room.
Yes.
What?
Beer of the week. I've got to explain the name on this beer because it's very odd. The beer is by Elysian Brewing in Seattle. It's called Men's Room Red. And the reason I picked this beer is in honor of Veterans Day, which was this week. And here's why. Elysian Men's Room Red, a portion of the net proceeds go to helping support families of military vets in the Virginia Puget Sound area.
Oh, that's great.
Yep. And the name comes from the Men's Room Original Red was brewed for the Men's Room radio show on 99.9 Rock of Seattle, KISW. So it's got a very unappealing name.
No kidding.
Men's yes, it does. Room Red. But it's very good. I've had it before. It's an amber. If you like ambers, it's very tasty. Just don't think about the name when you're drinking it.
Well, don't you might not want to think about the Men's Room radio show either. It doesn't. It's not very appealing.
Right.
But
yeah. But it benefits veterans, so it's all good.
It's good. It's a good cause. Yeah.
It's a good cause. Wow. Oh, and we should throw out this little tidbit that because this just happened. Flipboard is coming out for Windows 8 today, as Tom Warren's reporting on The Verge. I think it just got released. It has live tile support, so it's out.
Nice.
Yep, a lot of people have been waiting for that. I don't think there's a Windows Phone version of Flipboard yet, is there? No. I don't think so.
I love Flipboard.
Yep, so it's out on Windows 8 now.
Like things on Windows Phone, but.
Yeah.
Not Flipboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a you got more for your money's worth on this show than you ever have before. Congratulations. And you got the men's room. What more could you ask for? Mary Jo Foley, we missed you. Welcome back. It's good to have
Thanks.
You.
Thanks.
She writes about Microsoft at ZDNet, allaboutmicrosoft.com is the easy way to find it. You find Paul Thurrott at
the super site for Windows, winsupersite.com. His Windows phone book is at windowsphonebook.com, free. And the new, what do you call it, Windows 8.1 book?
Yep.
.com, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You can help make that happen. Make that a reality by sending Paul money, and he won't twerk in your subway car.
That's for sure.
He promised.
That I can promise.
He can promise you that. But he does look awfully good in short shorts, but we'll just leave that for now.
That I can promise, too.
Woo!
Woo! There's an image.
You'll never unsee that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back next week, but don't count on us after that because Xbox One is out and we're going to be busy. Do you get an early version of that? Do you get a review unit?
No, I didn't even ask.
Why ask? So much fun waiting.
360 early. I don't know. It's not really central to what I do.
Right.
Work-wise, but.
No, it's central to your life, though.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah. Can your achievements in Call of Duty Ghosts move over?
Well, the achievements will always be tied to your account. I assume and sort of hope that you can redo them in the in the Xbox One version of the game. But I actually don't know that for a fact. That's the way games have always worked in the past.
If you do it again.
We'll see.
We shall see. We do this show 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC every Thursday. On the Twit Network, please stop by and say hi during the live broadcast. You'll hear things that you would never otherwise hear.
Sorry.
And see things that you wish you'd hadn't. But if you want the edited version, we have on-demand audio and video always available every show after the fact on our website, twit.tv. In this case, it's twit.tv/WW. And, of course, wherever podcasts are aggregated, including the fabulous Zune Marketplace. I'm sorry, Xbox Marketplace. Or whatever they're calling it today.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next week
on Windows Weekly.
Uh-oh. We've got Mary Jo's talking, but nothing's coming out.
Mary Jo, we lost you.
Hello. Hello, Mary Jo. This is an interesting thing. She apparently can't hear us either. I'm getting a lot of hiss from her, but no. Hello, Mojo.
She's just... Here, I'll handle this.
She's just gassing away like we're listening. Apparently not even noticing that we can't...
She's like, they've never shut up for this line. Here, put me on the screen real quick.
Okay. Oh, now she saw it. That's good. She saw it. That's good.